The Bombay doors had a manual override, so they were easy. Sizlowska just turned a hand crank, and we were in business. Freeing the two Nova bombs from their cradles was another thing. Finally, he went back down to the engine room and brought back a crowbar. He pried one loose, and I got the other, and we rolled them out the bomb bay. Sergeant Angeloff was already working on them by the time we climbed back down. All you had to do to arm the bomb was to unscrew the fuse on the nose of it and poke something around in the fuse socket to wreck the delay mechanism and safety restraints. We carried them quickly to the edge, 6 people per bomb, and set them down next to each other. Then we waved to the 4 people who were standing by at the field generator's handles. They picked it up and walked 10 paces in the opposite direction. The bombs disappeared as the edge of the field slid over them. There was no doubt that the bombs went off. For a couple of seconds, it was as hot as the interior of a star outside, and even the stasis field took notice of the fact. About a third of the dome glowed a dull pink for a moment, then was gray again. There was a slight acceleration, like you would feel in a slow elevator. That meant we were drifting down to the bottom of the crater. Would there be a solid bottom, or would we sink down through molten rock to be trapped like a fly in amber? Didn't pay to even think about that. Perhaps if it happened, we could blast our way out with the fighter's gigawatt laser. 12 of us, anyhow. "How long?" Charlie scraped in the snow at my feet. That was a damn good question. About all I knew was the amount of energy 2 Nova bombs released. I didn't know how big a fireball they would make, which would determine the temperature at detonation and the size of the crater. I didn't know the heat capacity of the surrounding rock or its boiling point. I wrote, "1 week, shrug, have to think." The ship's computer could have told me in a 1/1000th of a second, but it wasn't talking. I started writing equations in the snow, trying to get a maximum and minimum figure for the length of time it would take for the outside to cool down to 500 degrees. Angeloff, whose physics was much more up to date, did his own calculations on the other side of the ship. My answer said anywhere from 6 hours to 6 days, although for 6 hours the surrounding rock would have to conduct heat like pure copper, and Angeloff got 5 hours to 4.5 days. I voted for 6, and nobody else got a vote. We slept a lot. Charlie and Diana played chess by scraping symbols in the snow. I was never able to hold the shifting positions of the pieces in my mind. I checked my figures several times and kept coming up with 6 days. I checked Angeloff's computations, too, and they seemed all right, but I stuck to my guns. It wouldn't hurt us to stay in the suits an extra day and a half. We argued good-naturedly, in terse shorthand. There had been 19 of us left the day we tossed the bombs outside. There were still 19, 6 days later, when I paused with my hand over the generator's cutoff switch. What was waiting for us out there? Surely we had killed all the Torrens within several clicks of the explosion. But there might have been a reserve force farther away, now waiting patiently on the crater's lip. At least you could push a quarterstaff through the field and have it come back whole. I dispersed the people evenly around the area so they might not get us with a single shot. Then, ready to turn it back on immediately if anything went wrong, I pushed.